Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Wilmington, North Carolina, it's time for Wilmington Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Welcome to the Business Radio X studio in Wilmington, North Carolina, and to the Wilmington Chamber of Commerce Voice of Business show. I'm Connie Majorette, President and CEO of the Wilmington Chamber. My co-host today is Ann Revelle Petcher of Business Radio X, who's the best interviewer in the world.
Isn't that sweet? Thank you, Connie.
So our focus today is something really unusual for a chamber, but it has such a big economic impact, and we're learning that what we're going to talk about is really important to the growth of business in our community. We're talking about the Kukalores Film Festival, which will celebrate its 20th anniversary when it's held November 12th through the 16th this year. More than 200 films will be screened at Kukalores, making it one of the largest film festivals in the United States. I mentioned the economic impact. It's really amazing. These guys run this festival on about a $350,000 budget, but it translates into about a $5.5 million impact. And the earned media from it's phenomenal. They did an accumulated attendance last year of almost 15,000 people.
Wow.
So that is really pretty amazing. And one of the coolest things, they were named one of the coolest film festivals in the world 2013 by Movie Maker Magazine.
Wow, congratulations, you guys.
Thanks, yeah.
So now let's tell about who the guys are. Our first guest today is Dan Brawley. He's the executive director of the Kukalores Film Festival and has been that since 1999. We think Dan is the asset that's made this festival grow like it has. He's a native of Wilmington, a graduate of Duke. Some would say that's good, some not. So good.
I have seven uncles who all went to Chapel Hill, so I keep my mouth shut.
They would disagree.
Yes.
My daughter will stand behind you.
Yeah, good, good.
He's also one of the founders of the independent art company in downtown Wilmington that consists of Wabi Sabi Warehouse and Jingo's Playhouse, which houses 12 art studios, an intimate gallery, and a 50-seat microcinema. He's past chair of Atlanta-based nonprofit Alternate Roots, an organization that supports the crossroads between art and activism. Welcome, Dan.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And we have one of Dan's board members, Thomas Vardam. He's an intellectual property, film, and business attorney with the Brooks Pierce Law Firm. Thomas Vardam helped Brooks Pierce get started in Wilmington. He grew up in Northern California. He went to Chapel Hill.
I'm a Tar Heel.
He's a Tar Heel. He went back to California to UC Davis for his law degree. And he, as I mentioned, he's on the board of Kukalores. So welcome, Thomas. Glad to have you here.
Thank you. Very, very happy to be here.
Okay, Dan, let's start at the beginning. How did Kukalores start?
You know, Wilmington had the, I guess, good luck to be the location for Dino De Laurentiis and Frank Capra Jr. when they made the film Firestarter. And Dino fell in love with the beaches and fell in love with Wilmington and the quality of life here, built a big house at Wrightsville Beach, or at that time, which was probably one of the biggest houses at Wrightsville Beach, and built a studio right next to the airport. And in the early 90s, Wilmington really was a hot, hot production location. There were 30 or more feature films being made in Wilmington every year. And one of the great side effects of the film industry is that whether you like it or not, in the film industry, you're out of a job about once every 3 months, and you have some free time on your hands. And so when you bring hundreds of creative people to your community, you give them some free time, things like Kukalores happen.
Mm-hmm.
And so in the early 90s, Wilmington had generated a really thriving independent film scene, and a group of filmmakers called Twinkle Dune decided that there were enough films being made that there needed to be a little film festival. And so it really was a humble start. The first festival was held at Water Street Restaurant, and there was a long line of people winding down the Cape Fear River trying to get in. They had to turn people away. And so, you know, really the festival has grown in response to our audience and in response to what's happening in the world of filmmaking. You know, so we've been really, really lucky to have an incredible stage for this event. Downtown Wilmington is just a really, really special place. And so we bring filmmakers from all over the world, and they discover Wilmington. They discover what this country was maybe like 200 years ago with the cobblestone streets and the architecture. I can recall a number of different times when filmmakers have come from overseas and been really surprised. A filmmaker from Spain one time said to me, you know, I thought America was all strip malls and parking lots. So you can imagine their reaction when they walk into Thalian Hall and when they eat dinner, you know, on the banks of the Cape Fear River. It's a pretty special experience.
Is the growth here unusual? I mean, some people would say it's Dan Brawley's fault because you travel all over the world all the time looking for film producers, makers, and trying to convince them to bring their film here and be considered.
You know,
so did you do it or what happened?
Well, you know, like a lot of businesses, it's a number of different factors that all came together at just the right moment. So I showed up back in Wilmington after going to Duke. And I had a degree in art and art history, and I kind of fell backwards into Kukulorus. I met Brent Watkins, one of the founders, and he said, "Hey, we want you to help us out," you know. And so, a little bit of it has been my work. A little bit of it is that unique charm of downtown Wilmington. It's also things like the internet, digital video. I mean, you know, so the film festival industry has exploded in the past 10 years. Right. Kukulorus was really lucky to be at the vanguard of that movement. So in 1994, film festivals were unheard of. They were really rare and unique. And so Kukulorus is a legend in the film festival world, because it was started so long ago. 20 years is ancient for film festivals. You know, more than 75% of film festivals in the world today are less than 10 years old.
Well, you do it on such a small budget, and I know that's one of the things that the board has to worry about.
That's right.
What would be a budget for a film festival like ours, or look at Sundance or Cannes, or whatever it's called.
You know, there are a lot of festivals that are similar in scale to Kukulorus. A lot of them would give their right arm to have our reputation, and a lot of those festivals have budgets over $1 million. You know, so a little bit of that is that we pay for that with passion, and a little bit of that is sort of a miracle that we pull off. So I was telling Bill Vassar at lunch today. And Bill Saffa, we were all together at lunch at a March of Dimes event, and Bill was saying there are a bunch of people who were talking about South by Southwest and, you know, wanted to talk to me about, you know, boy, how does that fit into Kukulorus? And I told him that Kukulorus is a fast-moving freight train, and they're welcome to get on board if they want, but it's going to explode. This is just the beginning. The first 20 years was sort of the setting the stage, and I'm really convinced that all the right pieces are in place. And one of the most significant parts of that is the fact that really for the first time in Kukulorus' history, the infrastructure of downtown Wilmington is changing significantly.
Right. Yeah.
So, you know, there were no more hotel rooms in 1994 than there are today, or a year ago, let's say.
Right.
The community college's new performing arts venue certainly will change the landscape of what's available, where we can stage events. And so we think that this is just the very beginning, and that very, very soon that our budget will grow, but also that the audience and the reputation of the festival will continue to grow.
And that right there, you said that it's a little bit Dan Brawley that is responsible for Kukulorus being what it is. And I'd say it's more than that. It's that vision that you just heard, his vision, his dedication. So I think you're underselling it a little bit, but that right there is some of the secret sauce that no one else can replicate.
Sure. Hey, Dan, go back a little bit further. Tell us how people came up with the name Kukulorus. Does it have a meaning?
Yes. Gaffers and lighting DPs and other people who spent a number of years on a film set will know that a Kukulorus is a piece of equipment. And it's usually a piece of plywood. It has squiggly shapes cut out of it that you put in front of a light to create a dappled lighting effect.
Okay.
And Bo Webb, who I'm sure a lot of folks out there know, who is one of the founders of Kukulorus and has been at the core of the growth of the festival, gets credit for attaching that name to the film festival, and it served us really well. It has a nice little ring to it. And it's just slightly more interesting than the Wilmington Film Festival. So thank goodness for Bo Webb and for the other creative people who launched the festival in 1994.
I thought it was an animal. Yeah, I really did. A dinosaur of some sort.
Yeah, well, we've got some animals around Jingo's Playhouse. There might be a Kukulorus animal in there somewhere.
Thomas was talking before you got here, Dan, about the diversity of the board and how well they work together. Talk a little bit about what it is to be a board member for something like this.
It's such a fun group. It's a good mixture of people who are, you know, from the business world, people who are from the creative world, people who are just avid supporters of the festival and just want to see it flourish and want to see it just be successful year after year and get better every single year. I haven't seen a group come together with such diversity but work so well together. And it's a hardworking board. I mean, our meetings last a long time. They're scheduled for many, many hours, and usually they last longer because people just want to be there. They want to help the festival. The ideas start flowing, and it's a fun mix. And not only is it just people in Wilmington, it's a far-reaching board. We have people from all over the region and all over the United States that want to help us in some way, whether it's on the board or being what we call ambassadors. People really want to see it work. So I haven't been on such a fun group before.
That's great. With late breakfasts.
Late breakfasts, yeah. When I first got involved, I'd get an email about a breakfast meeting, and in my world, that's about 6:45, 7:30, and then I saw it was scheduled for 9:30, and that in the film world is a breakfast meeting.
We sometimes work on West Coast time.
There you go.
That's our excuse, at least.
That's the excuse. Well, I'm really curious about the business of running a film festival. Yeah. Give us some ideas about what it's like on the business side of it.
You know, I'll say we've been very fortunate. We've had a lot of great partners over the years, and North Carolina is lucky to have one of the best state arts councils in the country.
Oh, really?
And
that's great to hear.
Yeah, and they've been a partner. So you know, I think a lot of people would see arts councils just being a place to grab some money, but we really look at them as a partner. And Jeff Pettis, the director of their visual arts programs, has been really a guiding force and has helped us understand some of the business dynamics. And then they also have a program where they fund a consulting company to work with nonprofits in North Carolina that they think are really innovative. And so for the past 6 years, we've worked with a consulting firm from New York. It's a little bit like therapy for people like me who live off passion and not a lot of money, but it's really been helpful for us, and we view things just slightly differently than I think people would expect. And our board is a great example, you know. So we draw these funny looking diagrams to explain how our board relates to the work that we do, but at the end of the day, to me, arts nonprofits are the most entrepreneurial endeavors.
Absolutely.
Out there.
Yep.
Because it's all risk. There's no upside.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there really isn't. I mean, if I start a for-profit business and take some risk, well, then at the end of the day, I might make some money out of that, right? Well, that's not going to happen with the nonprofit. The money legally goes back into the organization and gets used to fulfill your mission. And so it's all risk. I'd say 70-80% of what we do is just like a for-profit business. Our sponsors expect something in return. We have to deliver a service, and that mm-hmm. service is to throw a huge party and show a lot of really good movies, and that's hard work. I think a lot of people, you know, they laugh and joke and they say, you know, we don't feel sorry for you because you watch movies for a living. And while that is, you know, I won't argue with that entirely. I do watch a lot of movies, but the bulk of my time is spent doing the same things that insurance agents and bankers and lawyers do. Is communicating with people and developing relationships.
And watching a budget and handling staff all that.
Yeah, balancing budgets and sending out invoices. And so it really is, it has all the same characteristics of your average business.
With a lot more up and down during the year.
It's true, yeah. I mean, that is one of the things that's really unique about the model that we run. And that's one of those funny diagrams we make, is that for about 3 months out of the year, Kukul Horse is a really tiny little business that I run with a couple other folks. And then for about a month out of the year, it's a huge business that has, you know, 350 employees, you know, volunteers and staff, thousands of patrons. And so for a month every year, in late October and through November, Kukul Horse is a huge operation, and if you had to sustain that all year long, it'd be it'd be a major corporation. It'd be one of the biggest businesses in Wilmington.
Well, there are people that have never been to a film festival, so take a day in a film festival and tell me what happens. I mean, what do you do? I know when I drive to work, sometimes I'll see very funky people walking down the street during the festival, and I know they're going someplace. But what happens during the festival?
You know, we have 110 or so or more events over the course of 5 days. We start showing movies at 10 a.m., and some of the best films play in the morning. I mean, I think probably I fell in love with film festivals years and years ago, when I grabbed a cup of coffee and the first thing I did in the day was went to a screening at the Edinburgh Film Festival in Scotland. And I was like, well, this is getting better than this, right? I didn't fall asleep. You know, sometimes I'll be honest, at, you know, 9 o'clock at night, I might doze off in a movie, but you know, at 10 a.m. with a cup of coffee in your hand, you're not going to fall asleep. So we show movies all day long, and there are options. There are five or six films playing at any given time. One of the most difficult things is to figure out which film you're going to, which film to go see, is how to make those choices. And then, you know, it's a great place for geeks and nerds because you've watched all these films and so you have something to talk about. And so we have lots of parties. And the parties are where young filmmakers meet their future bosses. It's where people like Thomas bring clients to entertain them. And so there are parties all throughout the day, not just the ones that Kugel Horse hosts, but other businesses host parties. Mm-hmm. We do a couple of workshops and things like that at Kugel Horse, not quite as many as maybe other festivals. We really try to create a really laid-back atmosphere. One of the things that makes Kugel Horse unique is that we don't give out any awards, and there really isn't any red carpet. Now, we do have some stars that come. Shirley Knight came last year. I have a little crush on Shirley Knight. I told her that I was a lot older than I looked, but it didn't work. We also had Bobcat Goldthwait, who a lot of who's a real, really nice guy. He's funny as he can be, but he's one of the most down-to-earth people I've ever met. But it's really not about the stars. It's really about the emerging filmmakers kind of meeting each other and networking. And one of the other things, you know, downtown Wilmington, that charm, part of that charm is that City Stage Theater and Thalian Hall are really intimate venues.
Right.
Yeah.
And so I go to a wide variety of different film festivals. I go to some of the big festivals, you know. So I go to the Toronto Film Festival, and you're at this theater where there are 2,000 people, right? And there's a quality to that kind of experience. Now, when you go to City Stage Theater and there's 200 people, the quality's different. And you actually get to meet people. And that's one of the things, one of the magical little things that happens in downtown is that over the course of those 5 days, you're walking from City Stage to Thalian Hall and you see the same people over and over again. And so the sense of community is really strong at Kugel Horse.
So, go ahead.
It is. Well, one thing I would add is that that's one of the most fun parts of the year is when Kugel Horse comes around, because every day at the festival is what you make of it. And I kind of liken it to when March Madness comes around, I have my bracket.
Right.
When I get that festival schedule and I go through it, I mean, it takes me hours to sit down and strategize. Okay, I want to make sure I hit all the different venues. I want to see this film. Maybe it's screening twice, so which time should I see it? And it never survives. It has scratch-throughs and marks, and I update as I go. And some of the days I know, okay, this is a day where I want to go to all the parties and just have a really big day. Some days I want to find some quieter films and have maybe get some rest and recovery during the middle of the festival.
Well, I'm curious how your attendees interact with each other. Do you find people using social media and stuff to say, hey, I'm going to go to X, Y, and Z, I'll see you there? Or...
Yeah, it's a Instagram explosion
of
all the photographs and, you know, and obviously tons of Facebook activity. It really is. I think the social side of a film festival is one of the sort of secrets of it all. Mm-hmm. Is that, you know, you are watching movies, but really it's about making friends, and the films are a way to connect with other people.
Right.
And you know, people can relate to a story on screen. It's magical. You know, one of the reasons that the film festival industry sort of boomed is because a whole generation of young artists came of age about the time I was growing up, who grew up watching television all day, you know, even though my mom didn't want me to. We watched a lot of TV, right? And so the moving image is how we communicate, and it's how we connect to each other. I mean, when I go and hang out with my old buddies, what do we talk about? We talk about the TV shows we watched as a kid.
Yep.
I mean, I was hanging out with my brother yesterday, and we were talking about the poster of John Schneider from Dukes of Hazzard that hung on our bedroom wall.
That is embarrassing.
Mine was Robert Redford. What did you have?
Right? I was a cowboy girl. Yeah, I'm older than you guys are.
So these films create that same kind of connection for people. Yeah. It's you remember, I mean, people who came to Kugel Horse in 2003, they'll remember that film from, you know, from England that they saw that was, you know, that really touched them. And it creates a bond the way that any artistic experience does. The same thing happens when you see a play at Thalian or when you go to the Cameron Art Museum and you see a really moving painting. Those things are what make a community and how people connect.
And it's a lingering effect too now, because in the film world you have the prevalence of digital distribution with places like Netflix and Amazon. And so it's so much fun. You see a film you really liked, and you might turn on Netflix, and suddenly it's on the newly released list there on Netflix. And I'm getting in touch with my friends on the West Coast and telling them, oh, I saw this at Kukulores. You have to check this out. And so it continues, and it's fun to watch these films go on and go to great places.
And you're spreading the fun this year to kids.
We are. You know, we are really excited. Some of my favorite films are kids' movies. Mm-hmm. And so we're launching a program this year. It'll be 6 or 7 feature films that are, appropriate for ages 7 and up. A couple of them might be ages 10 and up. And it's the first time we've really done a major program inside of the festival just for kids. And I shouldn't say just for kids. They're family films. One of them was the box office, number one box office hit in Spain. It's called Zip and Zap and the Marble Gang. And it's kind of like Harry Potter meets Indiana Jones.
Oh, wow.
And it's just delightful. I could watch it over and over and over again. And so we felt like there was an opportunity there, that there was an audience. When we've done our demographic surveys, there's a lot of young, college students, a lot of young people at the festival, 30 and under. And then there's a lot of people who are retired. And then there's a little bit of a gap in our demographic. And we're like, man, there are a lot of good movies that nail that group. And I'm going to film festivals. So I was at Toronto recently, saw a couple of really good family films. And we just announced 2 days ago that we're showing a film from Belgium called Labyrinthus that might be the U.S. premiere here at Kukulores. And it's a great little family film about an online game where this kid's friends get sucked into the computer and he has to figure it all out so his friends don't end up having to live the rest of their lives inside of a computer. And it's absolutely delightful.
So what are the other hits that we're going to see? Do you have any early favorites?
I'll be careful not to pick a lot of favorites. I love all the films that we show, but
all your children, right?
Yeah, exactly. I hope no filmmakers are out there. But we're doing a program to honor Dino De Laurentiis this year.
Oh, good. Oh, neat.
Which I think is really exciting. We're going to show Crimes of the Heart.
Oh, wow.
And
cool.
And Martha De Laurentiis is going to come and join us after the screening and
talk about Dino and...
Yeah, and she really got her start here in Wilmington. Yeah. So her story, I think, is really inspiring of and how many people have had that experience, how many people came to Wilmington and in this, more laid-back, more welcoming environment, got an opportunity to get some experience in the film industry and then went on to do incredible things. So we're going to show Crimes of the Heart. We're also going to do an outdoor screening of Flash Gordon. yeah, right? So that's going to be fun. There are some people who want to do a costume contest along with that, so that might happen. But tons of great stuff in the works. We're about halfway through picking the films, and we're just starting to look at the schedule. And
tickets are on sale now. Is that right?
You can buy passes now.
Okay.
And
all
passes
right.
are selling fast already. We've I think twice we're pass sales are well ahead of previous years. So get them now because passes are. You can also just buy tickets. Most of the screenings at the festival, you can actually show up the day of the screening and buy a ticket, just like you would at Mayfair or Carmike, just any cinema. But, passes are on sale now at our website. And you can read about about 100 of the films are already on our website. So if you want to get a head start, and Thomas is not joking, it takes hours to really sink into to the schedule and figure out what you want to see.
And it takes guidance sometimes, too. The office is very... helpful if you have questions about what's what and maybe what you should see, they like to get those calls.
Yeah, well, I love those calls. As you can tell, I love talking about movies. And we just started a Kickstarter campaign. I think at a couple of different levels, you get personal concierge service.
Whoa.
So we'll help you pick your films.
Nice.
So I often tell people that, you wouldn't go to an art museum and look at one painting. So definitely, if you've never been to Kukulores and you're a little, not sure of how to navigate it, pick 3 films, pick a documentary, pick a narrative film, and pick a shorts block. Shorts blocks are mm-hmm. an absolute win, no matter what, I guarantee it. But pick one of each of those and test it out, and you might get hooked like I did.
Dan, let me ask you how, most of our audience are business owners, how can businesses get involved and what can businesses do to help you succeed? Because obviously as they grow and they're bringing in new employees from all over the world, they want to let them know that we have this rich, you know, opportunity for them. How can they get involved with you?
Well, I think Thomas is a great example of this. You know, so Thomas has been a sponsor for several years and mm-hmm. really dives into the festival.
Yeah, it's the opportunity for a business to not only be a sponsor, have your name there, all the things that come with that, but it's one of those great opportunities where it's money well spent because you have such a chance to take advantage of it, to send people out to the festival, to bring clients out, to really magnify what you're doing. And that's what's worked really well for me, is really just a thorough kind of involvement that we get, mm-hmm. Rather than just seeing our name somewhere and writing a check for it. It's an opportunity to really connect with people.
Great. But you don't mind the checks either, I'm sure.
We need the checks.
We need the checks,
absolutely.
That's right.
At the end of the day, it's really, really critical that people in the business community support Kukalorus. And, you know, my sense is that you think of like an emerging university and, you know, you get a degree there and then 20 years later, people are like, dang, man, how did you get a degree from Kukalorus? And it's like, well, you know, and so I think that is really part of the opportunity that I see for business owners is like, you can be one of those people who said, yeah, we were sponsors way back when.
Yeah, right.
And so it's that Wilmington has a really unique opportunity to take advantage of some assets that are really envied by cities all over the world. We can really become a destination for the 21st century economy. And Kukalorus is one of those things, one of the intangible things that you just couldn't duplicate, you couldn't wish it into existence, that's here now and has incredible value. And an investment in Kukalorus, I obviously, a little bit biased, but I think has rewards for this community that just are really very, very difficult to pin down.
Yeah, it's nice to see the quilt that makes Wilmington because it's a little of this and a little of that.
Exactly.
But to have something like Kukalorus growing and doing so well and knowing it's going to be the big, big part of the quilt, we're really looking forward to that.
Just to give you a little glimpse of how Kukalorus is on the verge of exploding, today alone, I got requests from filmmakers who have films in the festival from Turkey, Slovenia, Ukraine, Australia, and London who want to come this year.
That's
now, we're out there trying to raise the money to make that happen because, as you can imagine, a flight from Slovenia to Wilmington is not cheap. But, man, what an incredible thing that people from all those countries all over the world want to come and spend a week in Wilmington. And what an opportunity for us to showcase to the world that Wilmington really is a world-class destination, not just for, and these aren't just filmmakers. You know, a lot of these people have made a short film, and they run businesses. A lot of them run tech businesses. Mm-hmm. And so we really have an opportunity to be at the forefront of the 21st century economy. And I really think Kukalorus is one of the number one things in this community that has the opportunity and the potential to have an impact on what that looks like over the next 20 years.
That's great. And we are on the verge for some big changes in Wilmington. So
Yeah.
It's exciting to hear y'all talk. I mean, the passion is amazing. I'm going to Kukalorus this year, I swear. So
we'll make sure that you get time off long enough to go.
I'm going to Kukalorus, but I wish you guys the best. I mean, y'all work so hard, and it's just so wonderful to see the successes you've had, both for the board side and the staff side. And Dan, your passion is just unbelievable. And I think that's why we have Kukalorus. So thanks to Dan Brawley. Thanks to Thomas Varnum for being here. We appreciate
you.
It. Look forward to the 20th anniversary of Kukalorus, November the 12th through the 16th.
That's right. Thank you, Connie.
Thanks.
I'll
thanks,
see
Dan.
You there.
Appreciate
Thank you.
Absolutely.